In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we would be remiss, Ben, if we did not talk about the guy that just did the promo, Xander Bogaerts, who had just such a phenomenal AB last night. Our pal Letters to AJ wrote a little piece about it. Situational hitting sighting last night from Xander Bogaerts. And one of my favorite things we've ever learned here on Ben and Woods was this mentality that Adam Jones, five-time All-Star, a guy that ditched us for golf today, by the way. We were supposed to play golf with him. And he had a better opportunity at a better golf course and a chance to make some money.
A business opportunity.
He had a business opportunity, and then they're going to go play a better track. And I said, all right, I get it. It's fine. So now Benny and I are going to be playing with our buddy John Ashworth and Matt Chinella today, which is going to be great. But you know,
Match, me and you against those two?
Yes.
Is that what we're going to play? Close out?
100%. Yes, absolutely.
And no strokes. I got you straight up.
Me?
Yeah, I'll take you.
I'm like a 15.
I know, but I feel like you make some birdies. All you need to do is
some birdies.
We just need to ham and egg it a little bit.
All right.
They're both really good players.
Yeah, they're good.
I'd say John's a little better than me, though, and Matt's a little better than you. So we'll be underdogs.
All right.
But I think we can do it.
Let's Padres him up, dude. Rally Roach in my wallet.
Exactly.
We'll be good to go.
Exactly.
But about Xander Bogaerts. So Adam Jones told us, you know, a year ago, he said, my mentality was always the first two swings are for me. And the last one is for the team, you know, and I love that. I teach my little leaguers that. Those two are for you. Get your hack in, man. Swing it. That last one, when you get two strikes on you, now it's time to knuckle down and you know, give one for the team here. Xander on 3-1 last night decided, no, this is the swing that needs to go to the team. The pass ball got Profar over to third. So now a 3-1 count, and again, letters to AJ. If you're not following him on Substack, you should. He breaks it down. Dude, Xander Bogaerts, Ben, on a 3-1 count, you know what his career OPS? 1.557.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a stack. So he does damage on 3-1 counts. Immediately noticed, I'm not going to get the pitch to do damage with here. I'm going to get something, you know, away. And what does he do? Not the world's prettiest swing by any stretch, but with the drawn in infield, boom, right through the hole, Padres get on the board. It was really, really special.
Mike Shildt also pointed out after the game, I think it was from Saturday when Jackson Merrill hit the two-run homer in the eighth inning to tie it, Xander put together a great at-bat to get on base in front of Jackson Merrill to set that up, just to a consistent run of really good at-bats from Xander Bogaerts, who's played really good baseball here in the second half of the season. And if you don't think that that's one of the huge reasons why the Padres have won 17 of their last 20 games, you're not really paying attention. It's sometimes so easy. Yeah, Jackson Merrill is doing the spectacular.
Sure.
You know, Manny's been slugging pretty well, and the bullpen has come through with all the new acquisitions, the new shiny toys, the names we're getting familiar with. But it's the guy Xander Bogaerts who has, for you know, a lot of his tenure here in San Diego, taken some arrows, you know, from the fan base for not producing necessarily the way he did in Boston, who has been a consistent contributor here in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and he also highlights something that Victor Rodriguez says, if you put the ball in play, you have a better chance to do something, especially with men in scoring position. I think from day one, we've preached, let's score one more run than the other team. And now we're going to do that by knowing situational hitting, by having a two-strike approach, an approach in which it doesn't matter if you have two strikes, you still have a chance. And, you know, I realized last night watching Woodford, you know, again, attack the zone, and you just didn't barrel him up. It's tough. I mean, he's at 65 pitches through six or something. He's averaging like 10, 11 pitches an inning, and that's not ideal. But I think that they are stubborn in their approach. And are we really going to come on the radio this morning and be like, hey, really should have got to that guy a little earlier in his 7.41 ERA? No, you're not. They're stubborn. I've been saying it about them all year. They're stubborn. They're not going to change their approach for anybody. And look, it's going to work out some nights. What do they always say? We're going to put ourselves in opportunities, give ourselves as many opportunities to win a baseball game as we can. That's what they're doing. They have a genuine philosophy for maybe the first time, Ben, since we started covering the team.
At one point last night, their BABIP was like 118.
Yeah, yeah.
And their XBA wasn't that good either. It was
right.
Like 240, but it was still 100 points higher than what they were getting. Just getting unlucky, you know, putting the ball in play. Had only struck out twice, but weren't finding any holes. But you keep doing that, and eventually good things do happen, and they did in the seventh and eighth innings offensively for the Padres. All right, before the Yu Darvish update, want to get a contestant on the line for Take on Woods. This is your time to call in. You want to challenge Woodsy. We had a 5-5 game yesterday, which was outstanding. Tie goes to the contestant, which means you can qualify for our trip to Las Vegas coming up here. 833-288-0973. Open the phone lines right now. 833-288-0973. Call in for your chance to play against Woods coming up here in about 3 or 4 minutes. So good reporting here yesterday. He's got good sources around town. Usually, these are the kind of sources that you usually have.
Yeah, usually.
But Dennis Lynn in The Athletic said that Yu Darvish threw live batting practice on Sunday at a San Diego area high school. And Darvish has been working out and throwing on his own since he went on the restricted list on July 6th. Appeared healthy and in good form, according to multiple observers. And he says the Darvish has still not told the team whether he plans to return or not this season as he continues to deal with the personal matter. But the throwing session does show that he's keeping his options open about a potential comeback here later this season.
I love that. I love it. I love to hear that that's what he's doing. Obviously, I would want him back as soon as possible. But I'm also, you know, I've resigned myself to the fact that he's got something going on. We don't know what it is, and that's okay. But, man, to hear that he's still out there working with a potential, the potential of him coming back, Benny, is just, it's a very positive very positive note yesterday.
And you remember, he did pitch well. He had a 3.20 ERA. Yep. In his 11 starts before he went on the IL. So it would be a lift if they can get Darvish back. You can't count on it. And even, you know, Mike Schilt continues to say, I don't even ask him about it. We're just supporting him, and he'll let us know when he's ready to come back. And that's fine. I feel like if I was manager, I would really still be kind of wondering, like, am I going to get him back or am I not?
Yeah, it's tough.
Am I going to get him back or am I not?
It's really, really tough. But if you as listening,
I just want to know.
Yeah. I just want to know one way or the other. But you don't want
to. Like, I'm not mad. I just need to know.
You also don't want to force him into saying, okay, fine, then I'm not coming back.
Right.
If you need to know.
Sometimes it's better not to know.
If you need to know, it's a no.
I'll be surprised.
If you don't need to know, then I'll keep the options open and hopefully continue, you know, the possibility of coming back. But if you absolutely need to know today, you might not like the answer. And I do get that sense. Maybe that's kind of what's going on here.
Well, the Tier 1s have a game on Sunday. If you're free at 1 o'clock, you need a couple of innings on the bump, I can make it happen. Heath Bell was a
Are you worried that he's
before?
Not going to be fully back and in form, though? That you've got a guy who's still
No, I'll use him
recovering.
In the right spot. Yeah,
okay.
I'll use him
you
in the right
like
spot.
Feel like you could work him in for an inning or two?
Yeah, I mean,
even
if he
at like 80%, you think Yu Darvish has a chance to get some outs in your league?
I think so.
Darvish at 80%?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, you got a couple guys who probably still can go 100% for you.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You think Darvish at 80%
I think
might
be better I think he'd be pretty good.
Maybe
what your options are?
Opener. Yeah, give him just if he wants to taste the competition again. Because it's one thing to go out and throw a bullpen at high school.
No,
but
I mean,
to get live batters.
Something on the line. A winning streak on the line. You guys have won, you know, 18, 19 in a row.
Well, yeah. Andros says, I'll find a lane for him.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
Like Skip says.
Yeah, good. Yeah, three. Yeah. Three or four good batters, you know, right-handers.
Yeah, I'll find a lane for him.
Might have trouble with some of his off-speed stuff in your league. I know they're pretty good hitters, but you may find someone that that he can handle. Get just, some confidence builder. Confidence builder.
Talk to PR. They got my number. Text me. We'll get you in a tier one jersey. It's by the way, it's going to cost you. You got to bring money for ump fees, just so you know. It's like $10.
$10
for ump fees and
don't big league us.
Yeah, don't big league us. $10 for ump fees, and we'll figure it out. We'll get you
take
some
care
work.
Of the field afterwards.
That's right. You imagine you Darvish out there raking the line. Do they have water here? They do. Is there clay? All right, I'll do the mound. the greatest, dude. It is the greatest. I love you, Darvish, so much, and I hope he comes back. But I, most importantly, I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you ready to get to our game? Let's play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
All right, Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. We've got Adrian on the line. Hello, Adrian. How are you?
What's up, guys?
Hey, all right. You're okay. And if you can beat or tie Woods, we'll put you into our grand prize drawing for August, a two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas, and two tickets to Carrie Underwood Reflection at Resorts World Theater, her new residency starting October or August 14th. That's like tomorrow or 2 days from now. And then ending October 26th. Tickets on sale at AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. All right, here are your categories for today's game. The Afterlife, five song titles and artists, including the word after. Sprechen's E Deutsch, we got five German-related music bands and questions. And Singing the Blues, five song titles and bands that include the word blues. So the Afterlife, Sprechen's E Deutsch, or Singing the Blues.
All right.
What would you like to choose?
Which category?
You get to pick.
Oh.
The Afterlife. Afterlife. All right, there's your category. Again, five song titles and artists, all including the word after somewhere. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, you can say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is the two-second song. Paulie's going to play a little music. You need to give me the title and the artist to score that point, and then we'll go on from there. Adrian, you ready to play?
I hope so, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Good luck. 60 seconds on the clock. The category, the Afterlife. Your time begins when Paul plays our music. Good luck, Adrian. Let's take on Woods. Correct. Whatever could Starland Vocal Band be hinting at when the band wrote which signature hit in 1976? You want to pass on that one? Which British rock band recorded a successful English language cover of Der Kommissar by German band Der Kommissar? That's right. J.J. Cale actually wrote which song that became a signature hit for Eric Clapton, even appearing in a 1987 Michelob commercial?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's all right. All right. Which 80s R&B group founded by the brothers of Babyface Edmonds released top 10 hits Ready or Not and Can't Stop? A tougher category.
Oh, yeah. Brutal.
We just had a 5 for 5 yesterday. They can't all be okay. as easy as yesterday. So you got Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper, which is good playing. Starland Vocal Band is Afternoon Delight. After the Fire, recorded Der Kommissar. After Midnight is the Clapton classic. And then After 7, R&B. I don't think Woods is going to get all five. I mean, he'll get a couple, I think. But we'll see what his score will be. Adrian, hang on just in case. Bring Woods back in. I see they're predicting how many they think you'll get in this category in the chat. We'll see. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Adrian.
Time After Time, Cyndi Lauper.
Correct. Whatever could Starland Vocal Band be hinting at when the band wrote which signature hit in 1976?
Pass.
Which British rock band recorded a successful English language cover of Der Kommissar by German band Der Kommissar?
Was that Falco?
Incorrect.
Oh,
J.J.
No.
Cale actually wrote which song that became a signature hit for Eric Clapton, even appearing in a 1987 Michelob commercial?
Cocaine.
Incorrect. Ah! An 80s R&B group founded by the brothers of Babyface Edmonds released top 10 hits Ready or Not and Can't Stop.
Say it again?
Which R&B group of the 80s founded by the brothers of Babyface Edmonds released top 10 hits Ready or Not and Can't Stop? Heart hurts you without the category.
I have no idea what the category is. None.
All right, go back to whatever could Starland Vocal Band be hinting at when the band wrote which signature hit in 1976?
This one's going to make me nuts.
I know this one.
I don't know the category. I have no idea. One. Give me one. I'm done.
One?
Yeah.
Wow. Adrian, I'm glad you hang on. 1-1. We got a tie.
You are kidding me.
Jeez.
Jesus.
Tough one today.
Woo!
The category was the afterlife. So time after time.
Okay.
So a Starland Vocal Band.
Oh, some Afternoon Delight.
Delight. After the Fire was
After
Der Kommissar.
Yeah.
After Midnight for
After
Clapton.
Midnight.
And After Seven is the name of the R&B
Never
group.
Heard of them.
Tough one today. Tough
very
one.
Tough.
Too
Lord.
Easy yesterday, too hard today.
Woo-hoo.
We'll need to Goldilocks it tomorrow and see if we can get it just right.
Didn't J.J. Cale also write cocaine?
He might have,
I think
actually.
He did.
But it didn't have the
it
word after in it.
Didn't have the
so
word after
it. That hurts you when you don't have the category. So.
Whew.
Good job, Adrian. See, that's why I said, you know, you never know what's going to happen in Take on Woods. Next up, though, is Don't Do This. And we know that we'll be talking about Jackson Merrill's Rookie of the Year candidacy.
Yes, we will. You know, again, MLB Network, they had some interesting comments yesterday. The very, very spray tan Steve Phillips wanted to weigh in on Jackson Merrill. And Kevin Burkhart, who we adore. I actually feel bad for putting him in Don't Do This, but he had one of those goofy things that you just say, and then it's come back to bite him a little bit. It's pretty funny. We can kick it around.
Before we get there, baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Back with Don't Do This after traffic next on 97.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, fantasy football team owners, get ready for the draft with Reception Perception. Whether you're in a PPR league or not, wideouts make or break your fantasy team. You can listen to a podcast that specializes in wide receivers. Don't get embarrassed this season with a new tattoo that your friends pick out for you because you finished last. Listen to new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on the Odyssey app. Get ready for draft day. It's Reception Perception. All right, I'll get us started today. And you actually pointed this one out to me, but I did think it was pretty funny. Kevin Burkhart, who, yeah, he's a very solid Major League Baseball broadcaster, was appearing on a show, Bloomberg's The Deal, with Alex Rodriguez and Jason Kelly. And he suggested that to try to up the offensive quotient and get back to a better brand of baseball, that the strikeout has become too commonplace. And he said, he talked to the greats. They used to be embarrassed to strike out. It doesn't matter anymore. And I think we've got to find a way to make that a penalty to increase a strikeout. So
I've got an idea.
He says, I would find a way to penalize a strikeout more than just an out.
I got an idea. An out. How about that as your penalty? An out. You're out.
More than just an out.
Like what? A shin kick? A nut grab? Like, what are we doing?
Two outs?
No!
That seems like a lot.
It's ridiculous.
It's definitely hard to add. I mean, you already can't advance runners on a strikeout. I mean, there is it's kind of an extra penalty to striking out.
Well, dude,
Certain respects.
Also, Kevin, I mean, think about it. How many times does a guy come up with a runner on first and he strikes out and there's a part of you that goes, fine. You know what he didn't do? He didn't hit into a double play. Like, the Padres are a contact team. The Padres don't strike out a ton, so maybe that's why we're all taking it a little bit personally. But when you talk about, by the way, the all-time greats being embarrassed to strike out, let me just give you just a few. of the career strikeout leaders in Major League Baseball. And you guys tell me if these guys are any good. Reggie Jackson, Jim Tomei.
Pretty good.
Sammy Sosa, Alex Rodriguez, Miguel Cabrera, Willie Stargell. On down the list, Mike Schmidt. Fred
some of
McGriff.
That is because they're so good they last so long that they compile them. But look at this year's leaders in strikeouts, and you'll see some of the best players in baseball. Teoscar Hernandez, Kyle Schwarber, Cal Raleigh, all among the top 10 in most strikeouts this season. Matt Olson, good players that strike, and Nolan Gorman strike out a lot.
Yeah.
It's not the taboo that it used to be.
It's not, and I think... You know, listen, I don't know what, and I love Kevin Burkhardt. I really do. What else? They're already out. You're out. That's your penalty. You're out. You didn't come through for your team. You know, it's a built-in penalty that's probably good enough.
You know what Kevin Burkhardt needs to do? Just watch more Padres games.
Yeah.
Because the Padres don't strike out a ton.
Right.
They're making contact. They're playing a good brand of baseball. I'm trying to go down the list to find the first Padre on the list of most strikeouts this season. I'm at 85, and I haven't gotten there. There it is. Manny Machado has the 86th most strikeouts in baseball this season, and that leads the Padres with 92 Ks.
That's crazy. And I mean, look, when we were kids, striking out, you're like, well, that's it for me.
Right.
Just put me in a box because I can't.
I still feel that way.
I still don't necessarily like it, but I also know that especially with the big leaguers, these guys, I mean, the pitching, by the way, Kevin, is really nasty. It's really nasty. And the guys coming in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings all throw, you know, 100 miles an hour with nasty breaks.
Joseph with a suggestion that would not fly in the chat.
Oh, you pull your, pull your...
Like when you don't hit it to the red tees, in your golf group, you have to...
Have you ever done that?
No.
Can you imagine? All right, I'll walk back to the dugout now.
Pants around your ankles.
Pants around your ankles.
You struck out.
Just like
I love Kevin. I love Kevin. But listen, some of the rule changes have helped with more contact. I don't know. I don't have the numbers at my disposal right now, but are strikeouts up since last year? Are they up since 2 years ago? Are they up since... 3 years ago, I have no idea where it's trending. But I certainly like this Padres brand of baseball a lot more than maybe other teams. So fine by me, man, but I think an out is good enough. I think it's absolutely good enough. All right, I will number two here. I was watching somebody clued me into MLB Network. They were doing a little debate, as they've been known to do, on the Rookie of the Year potential in the National League, and it was John Heyman taking the side of Jackson Merrill, and it was Steve Phillips, former Mets GM, very tan, talking about Jackson Merrill. And just a little quip as he was pleading his case to the judge about why it should be Paul Skeens over Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Merrill's a good player. They're not buying tickets to watch him play.
Are you sure?
That's why Petco Park is empty every night.
Are you sure?
Because Jackson Merrill's a good player. They're not buying tickets to watch him play.
They absolutely are. He has done the thing that Tatis did when he got here.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're sure. You still see some 13 jerseys. You still see some 23 jerseys. Everybody wants a number three. My 6-year-old, he loves all the guys. That's his guy now. Dad, I want fly balls. I'm like, all right. I'll throw you some fly balls. Jackson Merrill plays outfield. All right. Okay. I'll get you some fly balls. He wants to be number three. They are absolutely buying tickets for Jackson Merrill.
He's one of the most dominant young pitchers we've seen, not just this year, but in a decade or so. I mean, since Strasburg sort of came in, this guy has taken over the game, and everybody wants to watch him play. Jackson Merrill's a good player. They're not buying tickets to watch him play. They're buying tickets to see this guy go out there and pitch.
Both things can be true, by the way.
He's not wrong
Paul
Skeens.
Yeah, Paul Skeens. If I have a chance to go watch Paul Skeens pitch, will I buy a ticket? Yes. But if I have a chance to go watch Jackson Merrill do what he's been doing every single night, will I buy a ticket? Yes, 100%. He's one of the huge reasons to go to Petco Park right now. So
it's going to be an interesting race because some people, I was listening to Steve Phillips this morning, Eduardo Perez was going, I think it's Jackson Merrill. I don't think it's that particularly close. Right now, and you know, Steve Phillips continued to say, "Well, I mean, Paul Skeens is putting up Cy Young type numbers, and you know, you can't how can you be the Cy Young winner and not the Rookie of the Year if you had that good of a season?" Still don't know what we're going to see. I think it's going to be determined in the last month and a half. If Skeens ends up getting shut down, which with the way the Pirates have been playing, makes perfect sense for them to do. I don't know. There'll be much of a debate by the end of the year.
Good.
It'll be unanimous toward Jackson Merrill.
Good point here by Brandon. Well, just look at the Padres attendance against the Pirates attendance. I mean, yeah, Paul Skeens' games, they sell a lot of tickets. Jackson Merrill's games, they sell out every ticket. So, I mean, I don't know. He's an everyday player, plays a premium position. Paul Skeens throws every 5 days. So, yeah, man, he's the truth. There's no question about it. I did not care for that comment. It was a little bit flippant. By Steve Phillips. He knows better.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
This was ESPN's NBA Today show originating out of their Los Angeles studios. Malika Andrews was the host. And what a composed, poised moment as yesterday's, 4.7 earthquake hit up in Los Angeles. And you can hear it shaking in the studio. She is doing an interview on a screen with Rebecca Lobo. So Rebecca's not there. Malika's just there, you know, on a set with lights above her camera and going, and she reacts to it live. And just listen to how professional she handles this.
Oh, why is there no audio? There we go.
Restart and go.
Olympics. And it was so much fun to see, particularly the crowd sort of getting behind as we have a bit of an earthquake here in Los Angeles. So we're just going to make sure that our studio lights, everything stays safe, everything's shaking. You good, Mylan? Everybody good? All right. Thank you so much for bearing with us through that. Our studio was shaking just a little bit. Tarsi, if you're still good in the studio and in the everyone's still good. All right.
Perfect. And then on with the interview.
Handled it like a total pro. I'm sure I would have handled it the same. Just as evidenced by the roach that was in here. Like, almost quit my job over a cockroach. So, yeah, I'm sure we've all would have been totally, totally fine. But she handled that like a pro.
People in, you know, like the Midwest where they never had an earthquake are, like, losing their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how can you be that calm? The earth is literally shaking, and you are just as cool as a cucumber. You're checking the lights. You're checking your colleagues.
I get a text every time there's any semblance of an earthquake here from, like, three family members. You good? I'm like, I didn't feel it. I never do. So, knock on wood. Let's keep that rolling. Don't do this
for Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the wild card race, the playoff chase continues to heat up. We'll have an update on how the rest of Major League Baseball did. Context with your San Diego Padres. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If your supply chain demands a flexible workforce, hire with Express Employment Professionals. With contract and full-time workers from Express Employment, you get the staff you need and manage contingent labor costs. Learn more at expresspros.com. That's expresspros.com. No one really giving an inch in the National League right now. We'll give you the update on the standings and how things went last night, coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Did anybody see Mookie Betts' first at-bat?
I did. Luckily, I didn't.
The injured list last night.
Luckily, I was smart enough to know that he's a pretty good player, and I wasn't about to run my mouth early. I did see a lot of people jump the gun there. It was not the prettiest AB
for
Mookie.
Fell over, striking out.
Yeah, dude, and then?
And then in his second at-bat, he hit a home run.
Yeah, tank. Absolute missile out of there.
Three RBI.
That's called growth, my friends.
Yeah,
growth.
Two months on the IL with a broken hand, comes back and leads the Dodgers to a 5-2 win on the road over the Milwaukee Brewers. Shohei Ohtani hit his 36th of the season, a two-run shot. The Dodgers remaining 3.5 games ahead of the Padres in the National League West. Also saw that Mookie returns to the Dodgers, but did not return to the team hotel.
The Pfister.
In Milwaukee. He got an Airbnb again.
He always
because
does.
Because he's afraid of the hotel in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The Pfister, because of the ghosts.
Yeah, he does not
he
like.
He will not stay there.
Not a fan of the Pfister.
Mm-mm.
Just hard to imagine. I hear it's a very nice place.
But, you know, Jesse stays there.
He got
the
me a pen from the Pfister.
Gotcha.
I have a Pfister pen. In my
Mookie
in my desk.
Will not stay there because of the ghost stories from the hotel.
I think it's
Pfister. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You would stay there at the Pfister.
Sure.
Yeah, that was the answer. Ben, would
absolutely.
You stay there?
Pfister? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Unlike Mookie, who will not stay.
Like we've talked about
with his teammates in Milwaukee. I mean, is that not being a bad teammate? You won't even stay with the rest of your team.
No, it's not. you want him playing at his best. It's not because I don't like being around you guys. If he's like, I'm legitimately scared of ghosts that are at the Pfister, then I'm not doing it. You want me at my best, I'm going to need to get an Airbnb.
Was about to thank the Colorado Rockies after giving the Padres so much trouble. They were doing the same to the Arizona Diamondbacks last night in Phoenix, had a 4-1 lead in the sixth inning. And then the Diamondbacks scored two in the sixth, and then two in the seventh, both on wild pitches, to take a 5-4 lead, and they would go on to the 5-4 win as they remain as hot as the San Diego Padres in the second half of the season. Both teams still 3.5 games behind the Dodgers, tied for second place, 14 games above 500, and tied for the first wild card spot. Plus four games now on the Atlanta Braves, who also won last night, which was probably the game of the night in Major League Baseball. We talked about it a little bit.
No question.
Yesterday, the matchup, Chris Sale against Blake Snell. Would it live up to its billing as a great pitcher's duel? And then some. And then some. Blake Snell, 11 strikeouts, took another no-hitter into the seventh inning. His pitch count was climbing, though. Eventually gave up a hit to... Who was it that he gave up a hit to?
Don't know, but he was at 114 pitches or something.
He finished with two hits allowed, but the Giants could not score against Chris Sale, who struck out 12.
Good Lord.
And the game went all the way to the 10th inning, scoreless, where the Braves got a single and then a sac fly by Travis d'Arnaud to score the only run of the game.
Wow.
In a 1-0 win in a pretty critical matchup between two teams that right now are fighting for that third playoff spot. The Giants fall 2.5 games behind the Braves in that race, and the Braves add a half game over the Mets, who were idle. So they're one game up on New York for that third and final playoff spot in the National League.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's kind of one you dream of, playing in a game like that, man. Everybody pitching's on their game, defense on their game. But Blake Snell is just, he's just unreal. The second half, Blake Snell is just something I've never really seen. And, you know, I watched some of that last night, and of course saw some highlights, and I thought to myself, had we been able to swing it, you know, at the deadline, if they were really going to move him or actively shopping him, that would have been so incredible, because as we've seen him in his career, something like the clock strikes the All-Star break and he just turns it on to the next level. He missed spring training this year, obviously set him back, but
he didn't miss it last year and he still got off to a slow start.
It's crazy.
It's easy to blame the late free agency and missing spring training, but maybe he was going to struggle anyway.
Yeah,
I have no idea with Blake Snell.
He's just a second half monster,
but he's doing it again and keeping the Giants. Honestly, I wasn't sure who I was cheering for in that game.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
You know, the Braves are closer to the Padres, but the Giants worry me maybe a little bit more because
in terms of the
trending,
yes.
the Braves with their injuries seem to be trending down, and the Giants are kind of trending up. So you want to keep them from getting momentum. I don't know. Either way, you know, there's going to be two more wins and two more losses in that series, and if the Padres keep winning, they'll add to their lead over one or both of those teams over the next couple of days. So that's
the Rockies.
That's
hurt,
an important
though.
Series. That one was an easy one. Yeah, you wanted the Rockies to win that one, and they could not get it done. But you don't want to be in a spot where you're counting on the Rockies to beat
your
rivals, and the Padres aren't. They're getting their taking care of business. They're winning games, but so are the Arizona Diamondbacks. Which, by the way, I heard Jesse on with Gwynn and Chris yesterday. He'll be on with us at 8:35. But he was mentioning the fact that couldn't remember what the season series was between the Padres and the Diamondbacks. It's 5-5 with three games left, the last three games of the year in Phoenix to end the season. Now, if you look at the standings, the Diamondbacks have the tiebreaker simply because of divisional record, but that will be irrelevant because head-to-head is the first tiebreaker, and unless they don't play one of those games, someone's going to be up either 7-6 or 8-5 at the end of the season. So that last series will determine the tiebreaker, and possibly the wild card, and possibly the division at the end of the year. Remember, if the Padres win that series, they'll have the tiebreaker over both the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. If it comes into like a three-way tie, that would give the Padres the edge over both of those teams to win the National League West. That's how critical these games are going forward.
I do have to apologize to you guys. I got you all excited for that potential trip out to Arizona. I blew it.
I texted you guys yesterday afternoon.
I really
because I got
this.
Asked by like three or four different people over the weekend from like different circles that were listening.
Yep.
And they all asked me, hey, oh, are you guys going to be out in Arizona next month? I go, what the hell? And I looked. I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, we end the season in Arizona.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday
games.
Could
be very pivotal weekend. I go, did you guys talk about this? Because a bunch of people asked me. And you're like, yeah, we mentioned it. We talked about it, I think, on Friday.
We had Adam in. We said, hey, maybe we go.
And I was like, that's a great idea.
Great idea. Easy trip.
Those could be really monumental games. So let me look at some Airbnb options. Hey, what do you guys think of this one?
We're
looks
in.
Great.
I'm in, I say.
Cool. Finger on the reserve button, like about to enter my information and reserve the house when Woods texted us again.
I walked into the kitchen and I go, babe, just so you know, I said, if that series in Arizona at the end of the year turns out to be as big as it potentially could be, me and the fellas going to do the show on Friday. We're going to jump in the car, and then we're going to drive out to Arizona, play golf on Saturday, go to the game Friday, play golf on Saturday, go to the game Saturday, drive home Sunday. And she goes, what's the date? I said, it's the last weekend of September. She goes, moron, I'm out of town. I'm going to Hawaii with my friends. I go, she goes, you have the kids.
Who is she, me?
Both
kids. Yeah, I'm doing her best Ben Higgins impersonation.
Both kids I have for like 5 days, which is fine. I can do it standing on my head. But they got to get to school, so we had to do all this. We have sitters coming to take them to school. I'll pick them up. So unless, and Paulie, you missed this yesterday, unless that Friday I get them out of school early and they come with us to Arizona. Now, Ben made very clear yesterday, he hates my 3-year-old son, Taylor. He said it. I hate him.
I feel like Hannah also made it fairly clear on Twitter yesterday that she wasn't a big fan of her own kids.
He's tough. He's a tough one.
I think that'd be great.
Me, the three of us.
We'll put Ben in the back seat with
Bo
the two
and Taylor,
boys.
He'll in between
be,
the
Ben
two
will
seats.
Ride middle in the back, and he'll have Bo and Taylor on each side.
They'd do great on a 6-hour drive, I'm sure.
Get some Happy Meals for you guys back there.
Now, that's my only other option. I can bring them if you guys still want to do it.
Why does he hate Taylor?
I don't know.
I don't hate Taylor. He's the wild man, you know? I don't relate to him very well yet. He's 3. Give him some time.
So that's an opportunity. If it's still, I probably won't be able to play golf. But we could go to the games, take the boys to the games with us. Big family trip.
Is that what you had in mind when you were plotting it?
The thought of it makes me sick to my stomach of dragging them to games.
Why don't we just rent an RV and I'll stay in the RV?
That sounds even better.
Film the whole thing and make a reality TV series about it.
So you guys should, if you still want to go, you guys should both.
We'll miss you.
You should still go and I'll be home. But yeah.
I mean, honestly, they'll probably be starting a playoff series like 2 days after that as well. And, I mean, that's a lot.
It's a lot
the last weekend of the season.
But here's what's going to happen. Now that this has all gone down the way it has, that weekend's going to like be for the division
or
for the one, the top wild card spot or something.
Yeah, and I'll be watching it on TV. You guys should go, man. You absolutely should go.
I mean, I would definitely encourage any listeners. Like, it's worth at least putting some plans in place.
Yeah.
If you can get a refundable hotel or Airbnb, then maybe it won't matter.
It would be some really elite content, though, the five of us going to Arizona for those games.
I'm all in on this.
I'll think about it just to make him super uncomfortable for the whole time.
Or he can drive himself.
He can drive solo.
And he'll miss there in like 12 hours.
He's just at the casino at night, every night out of explicit.
I thought maybe we were flying over there this time since it's downtown and it's near the airport. It doesn't make a lot of sense to fly when you then have to go 50 minutes back out to Peoria.
Yeah.
But when you're going down to Chase Field, that's really close to the airport.
There's a Hooters down there.
Might
also
be pretty easy just to fly in for an hour trip and not do the 6 hours in the car thing.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm planning on taking them somewhere when Hannah's gone. So I'm planning on taking them somewhere. Might as well be Arizona. They both love the Padres. You never know. But
either an Airbnb with a pool or just stay at a hotel. Or something.
Yeah, you're not going to want to share a house with those kids.
Not really.
He hates them so much.
They're very cute kids.
They're cute kids. Really very, very sweet. Yesterday, though, we talked. Scott, you missed this as well, Paulie. Scott Lewis tweeted, August 12th, it's just too early to start school. And I literally called him out by name on the air. He was listening. He called in. And I wanted to get to the bottom of why he thinks it's too early. Well, his kids are 13 and 11. So he's actually having fun hanging out with his kids. I got home from work yesterday. They had taken two boxes of Topps baseball cards and basically flung them all over the house. They could not have been any worse than they were. They were beating the crap out of each other the whole day. There were black eyes and bloody lips the whole day. It was like, all right, it's time. And my 6-year-old is off to his first day of school, first grade, which is nuts. But man, it was like, all right, yeah, this is the last day of summer for them. Couldn't have come at a better time.
We also invented Camp 97.3 while you were gone as well. Because, you know, Woods is paying hundreds of dollars for these camps. We thought, well, why don't we put on a camp here? And you can send your kids and just they hang around the studio for a week. And we charge a few $100. And we just have little ones running around.
Sounds like Ben's actual nightmare.
A literal nightmare.
Different activities. You know, the sales staff can give them spots to record. Make it their own.
Yeah, make it your own. Here's
right,
some
Taylor,
bullet points.
Put your own spin
on
it.
Yeah, put your own spin on it. You do it with some vigor, is the one I got recently.
Vigor.
Hey, do this spot.
Vim and vigor.
With some vim and vigor. I don't know what vim is. I've never heard of that.
You've heard of vigor.
I've heard of vigor, but I've never heard of vim. Is that
it
a thing?
It goes with vigor
it
sometimes.
Does? I've never heard it.
I'm not sure if it's different or similar. I don't even know the definition of vim,
actually. It's incredible.
I've heard of vim and vigor.
Just incredible.
I just assume it's a synonym for vigor, but I don't really know.
You know, there was an idea I had a while back last year. It was playoff house. And this team right now is, you know, you're feeling pretty good about their playoff odds. Paulie, you had the numbers earlier this morning.
Yeah.
91% chance of making the playoffs. Now, Fangraphs. Listen, you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch, but
91%, yeah.
So playoff house is an elite idea. It's where we all get a house and we live there until the Padres are out of the playoffs.
Do the show there.
Do the show everything. There. Live there. The whole staff. Everybody. I mean, Scraby,
Tony,
Annie's going to be like, I'm out. But that's, I mean.
Tony's going to be, I got to call the games, dude.
Yeah, Tony. Yeah, but like we all do our shows from Playoff House. And we hang out and we watch the games together. And I think it's an elite idea. So, Adam, sales staff, if you're listening, Playoff House needs to be a thing. We'll do it for just our show. That's fine. Playoff House.
Full sponsor.
Full sponsor. We just move in and we stay there until it's over.
Have it filmed like the real world.
Yeah, 100%.
Cameras in around the house.
I love the idea of Playoff House. And I think, yeah, we have tier ones come by. We can rage and stuff. It'll be fun. Sure, there's insurance that needs to go into that, but I think it's a good idea.
Quickly, a couple other scores from last night. Reds beat the Cardinals 6-1, so St. Louis dropping a game in the wild card standings. The White Sox surprised everyone by clobbering the Yankees 12-2. That can't feel good for the Yankees. Old friend Eniel De Los Santos gave up 7 in relief for the Yankees in that one.
Brutal.
And then did you see Billy Wagner's son made his major league debut last night for the Toronto Blue Jays. Got hits in his first 3 at-bats.
Somebody tweeted, can they only draft sons of big leaguers in Toronto? Is it like a rule that this they have to do?
This is Willie Wagner.
Will Wagner. Yeah.
Will Wagner. Billy's
He's got
son.
Three knocks.
Got three knocks in his first 3 at-bats. He was batting 1,000 after three career ABs.
Imagine Billy Wagner's your dad and you're not a pitcher. Like, that's crazy. Crazy cool. Love that.
All right, we'll come back, get everything started again. Second half of Ben and Woods, including Jesse Agler, right around the corner with the Incorporator. All ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. no punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.